We're back on the Daily Fantasy Live podcast. You guys have a good weekend, Heath?
I had a pretty good weekend.
Mike?
Very good weekend, Chris.
Did you guys do anything special?
Yeah, I did lots of things special. I was telling you before the podcast that I tried mixing Bullet Bourbon with a new craft beer. This is our craft beer segment.
Okay, yeah.
Local brewery, Saltwater Brewery in Delray. They have a Sea Cow Milk Stout.
Okay.
And I put a shot of Bullet Bourbon in it.
Milk Stout's always good.
Yes.
You can never really go wrong with
bourbon.
Milk Stout.
It's still good. The first one was a success, so I had another one.
That's good.
And so you should try that.
That's one of those things, though, that I feel like the first one was a success. The third one might not be. You know,
I did not get to a third.
Yeah, I think that's probably the smart way to go. Like the first one, really good. The second one, probably great.
Yeah.
Number three, that's when you start getting into like some fishy water.
I did actually sleep until 11:30 on Saturday, which I haven't slept past 9:30 in several years.
That sounds about right.
And then yesterday I went to the swamp and saw alligators again.
Okay. Mike, did you have a good weekend?
I did. It was not nearly that exciting, but it was a good weekend.
You didn't see any alligators?
I didn't see any alligators.
I had my 10-year high school reunion, which was extremely weird, as I think they're supposed to be. I think that's kind of the default for a high school reunion. So that was fun. It was, you know, weird to see people that I haven't seen in literally 10 years.
Yeah.
But nothing, nothing to really report. I'm sorry I don't have any fun stories.
I do want to tell you something exciting before we get started.
Okay, let's hear something exciting.
The Dong Chasers user picks are getting so much more robust on Twitter.
That's great.
I mean, I asked 3 minutes ago for everyone's picks, and we've already got 12 picks in.
Ooh. That's amazing.
So I will let you know. I think the easiest way to do it from now on, since we get so many nominations, is I'm just going to go with the first person that we haven't used in a while.
Okay.
The first person to get in the people that get in first always, we'll get them in every couple of weeks, but not every day.
What what happens if, you know, let's say we get 20, what if like six people pick the same guy?
Well, so
should we at least mention that or no?
I will let you know which guys have been picked the most, because three guys have already been picked twice in the first 10.
Okay. So let's hear it.
Nomar Mazara.
Sure.
Very popular. Logan Forsythe was picked. Two of the first four were Logan Forsythe.
All right.
And so far, that's it.
Okay, so only two multiple picks. Logan Forsythe does have a lefty on the mound.
Right.
So that always works out for him. Why don't we just, I was going to save it for the rest of the show, but we can update the Dong Chasers leaderboards right now. Because we have some interesting developments.
Interesting developments. In other words, something bad has happened with Heath.
Well, look, if something bad happened with Mike, I would gleefully report that as well. But Heath just finished off the second most expensive week in Dong Chasers history, averaging $4,114 with his picks. Six of seven were $4,000 or above. Zero dongs.
No dongs were had last week by me.
For all that money. And you're now riding your second 10-game dongless streak. You are the first person to do that twice. Each of us has one 10-game streak of our own.
I am the Rugnet Odor of Dong Chasers.
This is the good news is it's only your second most expensive 10-game dongless streak.
Right.
You only average $3,800 with this dongless streak. Your first one is a solid $4,000.
Okay.
So, you know,
that price is going down today.
If you
and the dongless streak ends today.
Yeah, if you don't dong tonight, you will tie me for the longest dongless streak at 11. And it's worth pointing out, my dongless streak, that was 11 games, cost the same as your first 10-game dongless streak.
So if I chose a $0 player, I would be tied.
No, this one's cheaper.
Okay.
But I think you'd have to keep it like under $3,300 or something.
Okay. I'm going to be under $3,300.
That's good. Mike, obviously, in the leaderboard. A good week for you. You finished with 36.2 last week. You got four dongs. Adam Lind, Mark Trumbo, Matt Kemp, and Jay Bruce all donged for you. So you're at 22 for the season. Still not doubling me up again, which I'm happy with. I'm at Heath is at 15.3, and I'm down to 11.9 after a disappointing one dong week. You guys want to get to the Monday stuff?
Yeah, definitely.
It's an Arrieta day, but I don't think he's the top pitcher on the slate.
He'll be the most highly owned.
It's also a Noah Syndergaard day.
Yeah?
I don't think he's the top pitcher on the slate.
Okay.
I think Trevor Bauer's the top pitcher on the slate.
Ooh. I think Trevor Bauer, in my opinion, what I wrote in the article today is I would not be surprised if Trevor Bauer is the most highly owned pitcher today.
Okay.
Which seems like a trap, to be honest. I mean, you've bought into Trevor Bauer now?
Right? I have. Look, let's not.
You just said he was better than Thor and Arrieta.
Let's not put too fine a point on it. I think he's the top pitcher of the slate because he's going against a bad offense in Atlanta. He's been pitching very well, but I don't trust Trevor Bauer. He's had a good month.
Okay.
We've seen good months from Trevor Bauer before. Now, it's a better month than I think we've ever seen from him. He's looking like the Trevor Bauer we were once promised. But I still don't trust him. So who would your most highly owned pitcher be today, Heath?
I don't. I'm going to try pretty hard to use Jake Arrieta in cash.
Okay.
I think that makes the most sense.
Okay.
He has a spectacular matchup. I don't feel the need to play five or six players from Coors in cash.
Okay.
And there is another game with a very high dong potential with much cheaper hitters that I feel like I can stack to kind of counteract the high scores from Coors. And have, I mean, the odds are Jake Arrieta is still going to score 15 to 20 more points than Trevor Bauer.
Okay. Mike, do you agree?
I agree that he's probably going to – I bet he'll score him by 12. I'll give you 12.
12, okay.
But I do like Trevor Bauer a lot.
Yeah.
There's a $3,000 price difference. Trevor Bauer going $8,900 going against Atlanta. Jake Arrieta's $11,900 against Cincinnati. And Cincinnati has been better against lefties than righties this season.
I think a lot of it depends on how much do you want to play Donaldson, Cargo, Blackman, Arenado, and those guys.
Yep.
Because you can get exposure to Coors with cheaper hitters, and we'll talk about that later. If you want to play those expensive guys, then you don't even consider Arrieta, because you can't.
Okay.
The guy that's interesting is Thor, though. I mean, we're talking about $1,100 cheaper than Arrieta, only $1,900 more than Bauer, and we're just acting like he doesn't exist.
No. I mean, I think the big thing with Noah is he's coming off the elbow scare in his last start, and there's no structural damage that they've been able to find, which is a good thing. But I believe there's been some kind of hints that they'll go easy on his workload. I think they'll probably take it easy, at least in this start. And Noah Syndergaard did say at one point that he thinks part of it is the workload that he's racking up so far. So I just think there's concerns about him going deep into this game. Washington's a middling matchup. I don't think they're good or very bad. I'm not sure Noah Syndergaard's a super safe play tonight. Mike, what do you think?
I agree with that. I do think that if you're not going to play Trevor Bauer or another guy that I'm going to get to here soon, then I think you just reach all the way up for Arrieta.
Okay.
I'm not really interested in that middle ground there. I think that Arrieta, to me, is a clear favorite over Syndergaard. And like I said, I mentioned that I thought Arrieta was maybe 12 points better than Bauer. So for the money there, I think I'd rather just have Bauer than Syndergaard.
What about Samardzija, 9,400? He's got a good matchup at home against Oakland. Is there any interest there?
He's kind of turned back into a pumpkin here recently, hasn't he? I guess he was good two starts ago against the Rays.
Yeah.
But three of his last four starts, 17 points. Four of his last five starts, 17 points or below.
Has only gone more than five innings once in that complete game against Tampa. It's just when you think Jeff Samardzija might not be Jeff Samardzija, he goes out and Jeff Samardzija's
right. I don't have any intention of playing Jeff Samardzija.
Okay,
in any lineups.
No.
If you are not going to play Bauer or Arrieta, who it sounds like there are two favorite starters of the night, are you going in the 8,000 to 8,500 range, or are you going all the way down to 75 to 7,800 and trying to get a bigger core stack? What are you guys doing there?
I think you should have said 74 instead of 75.
74.
Because there's Danny Duffy at 7,400 is probably my third most highly owned pitcher tonight.
Okay.
The Cardinals are not good against left-handed pitching.
Okay. Not at all.
And I kind of think the Royals bats are going to beat up on Wainwright. Vegas seems to agree. And then the other one still that we didn't talk about that's just it's $400 less than Trevor Bauer and may have the same – I mean, he may have more upside because that Astros lineup can whiff a lot, and that's Shoemaker.
Yep.
Yes.
Matt Shoemaker. Now, I think it will be interesting because this is now the third time that the Astros have seen Shoemaker since his makeover as a starting pitcher. The first time he faced them, he went 8 1/3, struck out 11, scored 64 FanDuel points. Mm-hmm. He faced them just last week, went 7 1/3, gave up 3 runs, and scored 34 fantasy points. I have been skeptical of Matt Shoemaker keeping this up all year. And if he's going to get exposed, I think it will first be by teams that have seen him over and over. So I think there's more risk with Shoemaker, but maybe slightly more upside just because the Braves don't strike out.
Yeah, that was one where he only allowed one run in the first 7 innings of the game. It was a solo home run to Jose Altuve. They left him in over 100 pitches. In the 8th inning, he got one out, was hit with 2 runs. So it might have been one where it wasn't even a bad start.
And that happened to him against the Yankees too, right?
Yes. But I do agree, because so much of his success has been driven by a really heavy reliance on his splitter, it's possible. And, you know, we're 7 games into the, or 8 games into this experiment, and he's still been really good. Mm-hmm. So it's possible that our hypothesis that it's just a kind of a fluky thing that'll get figured out, you know, might not be true. But seeing the same offense, literally this is 3 times in a month now. You know, his last one was May 27th. It's possible he gets lit up by Houston.
I like Shoemaker a lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at some of the WOBA numbers for him.
Okay.
So he's pitched 35.2 innings against right-hand batters this season with a 334 WOBA allowed.
Okay.
Now, if you look at the right-handers at home, 22.1 of the 35 innings have been at home to righties, and the WOBA allowed to righties at home is only 230. It's 100 points difference.
So he's gotten crushed on the road.
Yes, he's been just destroyed on the road.
And I think that must have been before he went on the disabled list.
He's made 4 of his 8 starts on the road, so, you know, since in this stretch.
So when you look, if you look at the WOBA numbers, when you see 334, if you're looking season to date, I think that's a little deceiving to righties. I think it should be 270s anyway. Is probably a more fair look. If you actually look at his career, obviously a little larger sample size. He's allowing 309 in 168 innings. Okay. So I definitely think that you should use at least his career number and not what is there for this year against righties.
Okay. Are there any other pitchers that you guys are interested in?
Duffy, for sure.
We've got Danny Duffy going against St. Louis. We've got a little more expensive. You've got Joe Ross at 8,100 going against the Mets. You've got Vince Velasquez coming back from the disabled list at 8,100 going against Arizona. Any interest in either one of those guys?
I think I'm more interested in Robbie Ray than those guys.
Okay, Robbie Ray at 7,800 going against Philadelphia.
Obviously, it's tournament play only.
Yeah.
But he's got a pretty good strikeout potential. He's been a good strikeout pitcher this year. He just needs to avoid the dong.
He's got at least 6 strikeouts in 6 straight starts and 9 of 10.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's just he's got 3 wins in that 9-game stretch. He's, you know, ERA is right around 4. He's just like this close to being good. And I don't think he's going to do it because his control's kind of iffy.
Well, I don't think he's going to be good regularly, but he will have good starts from time to time.
Anyone else? Colin McHugh going against the Angels.
Yeah. No.
The only... what do you guys think of this Daniel Mendkin guy? 5 strikeouts, 7 strikeouts, 9 strikeouts in 3 starts. His last 2, he's got 36 and 37 fantasy points winning.
The Giants don't strike out.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not interested against the Giants. I'll watch and be excited for him if he does well. But there's 4 pitchers I'm playing tonight. It's Arrieta, Bauer, Shoemaker, and Duffy. I probably won't have a single pitcher outside of those 4.
Is that the same for you?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm going to try to get to a point by the end of the day where I choose between Shoemaker and Bauer.
Okay.
I'm definitely playing Arrieta. I'm definitely playing Duffy.
Okay.
Yep. So. Can I want to mention one more thing about Duffy. How ridiculous is his K rate versus left-handers? 16.97 strikeouts per nine innings.
That's a lot.
The Cardinals have a few left-handed batters.
That's quite a bit.
The Cardinals, I believe they're 23rd in WOBA against lefties, and they're striking out almost 22% of the time against lefties.
Nice. By the way, I do want to mention on FanDuel, I believe this is the first big single-entry tournament of the year, right?
Yes.
And that's going to be a regular thing for them?
I think they're going to have it for a couple weeks. Okay. Like it's a couple week series.
Yeah, they've got a 29,000 spot MLB bunt, $25,000 in prizes. So, you know, that's interesting. A dollar single entry.
So if you only got to put, you get one bullet.
Yeah.
In a single entry tournament tonight, who is your starting pitcher?
Huh.
Probably Duffy for me.
I think I'd go. That's really interesting. I might go Shoemaker.
I think I'd go Shoemaker.
Bauer's going to be really heavily owned.
I think that Shoemaker's going to be heavily owned too.
Okay.
Do you think so?
I do. I've.
So is Arrieta maybe the play?
He could be. He could be. I personally still think it's Duffy.
Okay.
But I do think that Shoemaker Bauer is going to be very close in ownership tonight.
What do you guys? How do you think a big single entry tournament changes the strategy that you have to use?
So the strategy for the average person that's going to be tossing a lineup in here, they're likely just going to toss their cash game lineup in there, okay. Which you would think would lead to a lot of Arrieta, a lot of Bauer, a lot of maybe Shoemaker if we think he's going to be up there on like those guys. So the biggest way to differentiate yourself there is to go in the opposite direction at pitcher.
Okay,
I could be thinking about this wrong, but I've always felt like in single entry tournaments, I don't have to try quite as hard to differentiate myself because there's going to be even more chalk, what Mike just said with people playing their cash lineup, You put 20 lineups into a $3 squeeze, 16 of those better have something that's just a little bit kooky.
Yeah.
Or you don't have much chance.
Yeah.
With this, I mean, I don't want to play a cash lineup, but I don't need more than a couple of different differentiators.
Okay. You guys want to talk about our favorite stacks? I think it goes without saying Colorado, Toronto at Colorado, that has a 12 run over under, I believe, right? That seems really high. I know it's in Coors Field. I know it's two teams that can hit a lot of home runs, but you've got two better than average, I would say good to very good pitchers in John Gray and Marco Estrada going, which isn't to say that either one of them is going to be good. It's just 12 runs is a lot for those two.
For the record, I think John Gray is better than Marco Estrada.
Okay. I think that's fair.
I don't truly believe in the way Marco Estrada is succeeding.
Okay.
And it sometimes lasts for entire seasons.
There's, it did last year.
There have been very few players that have done that for multiple seasons.
But I do think there's something to be said for the fact that he's kind of working on a leading edge in terms of like pitching theory. In terms of the fact that, you know, most pitchers aren't throwing from a straight vertical.
Right.
Basically 90 degree arm slot. He is. He's getting a lot. He gets a lot of topspin on the ball.
Most pitchers can't.
Yeah,
most pitchers would hurt their arm attempting to throw the ball. I don't know that he's so much changed something.
Well, no,
that other
has.
Pitchers can emulate.
Well, but this is a change that he's made. Like his arm slot has moved.
That's fine.
Counterclockwise.
Right. That I'm just saying, as high as he's gone is not something that most people can emulate.
Okay, but either way, that is something that, you know, there's a chance at least that he's doing something so radically different.
Yeah,
that it does have to work outside of our typical expectations for pitchers in the same way that like a knuckleballer would. I think him and John Gray are both at the very worst good pitchers, and good pitchers tend to get rocked in Coors Field, but. It's hard. It's just 12 runs is a lot.
Should we just do our one player that we want to play from this game?
Sure.
Do you want to take the obvious one?
No. Mine's not obvious, so go ahead.
Okay. I'll go with Tulo. It's a revenge game.
It is a revenge game.
He's only 3,800.
Narrative.
He's been hitting the ball extremely well lately. So I'll take two, though. There's one other one that I really like that I'll wait till you guys have picked yours first, though.
Oh, well, I'm just going to take him, then.
Okay.
I'm going to go with your non-obvious Ryan Rayburn play, because I know okay. I know how much you love this small sample size stat.
Yes.
Where he's got, what, like a 1,100 OPS at home against righties?
Yes, that's correct.
There you go.
And Marco Estrada is not really...
He's a fly ball pitcher.
I think one of the reasons... I have a theory.
Okay.
That, first off, it was like 2 years ago that he killed righties. Ryan Rayburn's had kind of a weird career. Yeah. He had 1 year where he looked like he was just a good hitter against everybody. Mm-hmm. He's had 2 or 3 years where he's been a lefty killer, and he had 1 year where he was a righty killer. But his big problem against righties is striking out too much
mm-hmm.
because he has trouble with breaking pitches. You don't have problems with breaking pitches, of course.
No.
And Marco Estrada
doesn't strike anybody out.
I think he's got like an average, above average strikeout rate, doesn't he?
Does he this season?
Yeah, he's about average.
Well, what's the average right now? I think it's like 8.1 right now, which is nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's mostly like a fastball changeup guy, right?
He was 6.5 last year. He's 8.1 this year.
Yeah, so he's right at league average this season.
This season.
But, you know, it's possible.
Okay, Mike, who's yours?
Because everybody else is just so dang expensive.
I mean, I want to say Donaldson, but I'm actually going to say Michael Saunders.
Michael Saunders. How much is he?
He's very expensive. $4,700.
$4,600, yeah. Oh. Oof.
He's going against John Gray. Yeah, who
I like him a lot.
I believe John Gray has had some split issues this season. He's mostly a fastball slider guy. He's developing the third pitch, so that's what you tend to see. Yeah. And Saunders has been freaking awesome this year.
Yeah.
He's been so good.
Okay, left-handed hitters at Coors over John Gray's career.
Mm-hmm.
333, 394, 562. They've almost as been as good as Ryan Rayburn.
That's pretty good.
Righties at Coors, 294, 339, 491. That's also pretty good.
Pretty good, but...
Yeah, not as good.
Yeah, which makes sense. So that's it. Those are our Coors plays. What's your favorite stacks beyond Coors?
I'm going to say the Rangers.
Okay, the Rangers going against Ivan Nova in Yankee Stadium. Lefty heavy lineup.
He bet.
Yeah.
So far, a very large percentage of our Dong Chasers picks from the fans that have come in have been left-handed Rangers.
Okay. Yeah.
So they are all thinking the same thing we are. Either that or they just didn't want to be obvious and pick Coors. Nomar Mazara, Rougned Odor, maybe Jurickson and Profar will get back in the lineup.
Maybe Mitch Moreland.
Hashtag even Prince Fielder.
He donged recently, right?
A couple times.
I think he's
recently.
Donged twice in the last four or five games.
Look at Prince Fielder.
And really, if you look at it, this is like Prince Fielder should be a Yankee. He fits perfectly. He's old.
Oh, yeah.
He's left-handed. He has warning track power.
Yeah.
It's exactly what the Yankees built their team around.
He could hit 240 with 30 home runs for the Yankees.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Mike?
It was definitely the Rangers was number one. A little less obvious.
But
I like
what would be your pick, you know, today? We're not asking every day.
Oh.
You love the Rangers.
Wow.
Wow.
Rangers are your favorite stack every day.
Wow.
It's true.
Wow. All right. Give me the Tampa Bay Rays.
Tampa Bay Rays.
I like it.
Going against Eduardo Rodriguez, not one of the highest projected scoring teams in Vegas, but
yep.
Eduardo Rodriguez, I think it's fair to say, probably not good.
Yeah.
Has showed some flashes, but overall, and this is a team that's pretty good against lefties, I think.
Yeah.
You'd probably say their two best hitters are Logan Forsyth and Evan Longoria, both of whom hit lefties really well.
I really hope Kirk Cassali is in the lineup tonight. He's my $2,000 catcher.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. To be clear on that, that's more of a tournament stack, yeah. really. I will play Logan Forsyth in cash
yeah.
at 2,800. I think, in my opinion, he's a must play on FanDuel.
Yeah.
I project my Woba stuff for hitters,
mm-hmm.
and Logan Forsyth, even with the Coors Field game, is the number three overall hitter.
Yeah.
We've just completely abandoned the whole we're not going to say must play thing, haven't we?
I speak.
That was
extremes.
Only you, man. That was only you.
Okay.
We should also mention the Chicago Cubs against Dan Straley. They're expensive, but Dan Straley's not very good, and it's a good park shift for them.
Okay, let's also mention, I mean, I went with the Rangers because I like more of their hitters, mm-hmm. but the Yankees are yeah. pretty decent-sized favorites in that game and
yes.
projected implied to score the third most runs on the slate.
Yes.
Chichi Gonzalez is bad.
Yep.
I don't care that he had a 3.90 ERA last year. He was the second player since 1991 to post an ERA below 4 with more walks than strikeouts and more than 4 walks per 9.
Yeah, that's not good.
He's bad.
Yep.
So Ellsbury, Gardner, Teixeira, Beltran, all those guys. And they're a little bit more reasonably priced than Coors.
What do you guys think about the Diamondbacks against Vince Velasquez coming off the DL?
No.
No?
No.
Just because most of their best hitters are righties?
I like Vince. I know he's a fly ball pitcher in Arizona.
I think he's good.
A guy I looked at a lot was Jake Lamb.
Yes.
Because he crushes right-handed fly ball pitchers.
Yeah. That would be my thing.
He's too expensive.
Yeah. Lefties against Vince Velasquez, I think, are typically a pretty good play. They have Lamb and Castillo.
I don't think there's any. I mean, we should probably mention the Indians against John Gant. He's not good.
Yep.
Which is more reason to like Trevor Bauer tonight.
Right.
Win probability is very high.
Okay. You guys want to make your dog chase? Or actually, Heath.
Yeah.
Do you have BVP for us?
I do have some BVP, Chris.
Fantastic.
It's you don't care, though.
No, so you can just, pitcher.
You can just tune this out. There is no BVP pitcher tonight.
Disappointing.
I know. But I learned from you. At catcher, we're going with Cameron Rupp.
Okay.
He has only seen Robbie Ray 3 times.
Did you say the pitcher?
Danny Duffy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll listen.
Okay. Cameron Rupp, 2-for-3 off of Robbie Ray with a double. At first base, we've got Albert Pujols. He is 7-for-16 off of Colin McHugh with 3 walks and a 979 OPS. At second base, and this is where I think Chris is really not going to like BVP today. Jose Altuve against Matt Shoemaker. It turns into a bit of an Astros stack. 6-for-14 with 2 dongs, 1458 OPS versus Shoemaker. Anthony Rendon is the third baseman. Rendon is 4-for-10 with a dong off of Thor, 1200 OPS. Marcus Semien is the shortstop in the BVP lineup today. And at least he's not going against a good pitcher, right? Nothing. Thanks for helping.
I wasn't listening.
4-for-10 off of Jeff Samardzija. You told me not to listen. In the outfield, we've got Colby Rasmus. Once again, going against Shoemaker. Rasmus is 5-for-13 with a dong off of Shoemaker. Mike Trout is 4-for-14 with a 1048 OPS off of Colin McHugh. And then Alex Gordon against Adam Wainwright. I like it when we have interleague BVP with guys that have never played in the same league. 5-of-17 with 4 walks against Adam Wainwright.
Okay. You guys want to do some dong chasers?
Yes.
Mike, obviously, you are on the clock.
How do I want to be kind or not? I know there's 2 players. Both are 2,800.
Okay.
And if I don't take one of them, Heath wants to take this one of them. I know for sure. Probably not the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I like them both. Should I take the guy that I think Heath wants?
You don't know who I want to take.
He's a Ranger, 2,800.
You don't know who I want to take.
Okay.
So you should just take your Ranger. Take Nomar Mazara.
It's between Mazara and Logan Forsythe. And I'm going to take Nomar Mazara.
Nomar Mazara. Mike, going with the listener pick.
Nomar Mazara for 2,800.
Doesn't seem fair.
I will go with Logan Forsythe for 2,800.
Okay. And I'm still picking up ground on you guys because I'm going with Prince Fielder for 2,400.
That's one way you can go.
That short porch was created for aging players like Prince. We have one more dual dong chaser pick for the day, and then I'll give our official listener pick. But Carlos Santana has now gotten 2 votes in the Twitter dong chaser poll. But the second fastest answer and the first answer from someone we've never heard from before, Ethan Rozier.
Hey, Ethan.
Is going with Brian McCann.
Brian McCann.
Sneaky. Very like nice that. Pick.
Way to go, Ethan. Friend of the podcast. Brian McCann. Okay.
Have we ever officially had a listener dong? I mean, I should give some credit to DFS TJK,
mm-hmm.
T. Yep. Joseph. I think he's one of Mike's buddies, or at least Mike knows him. And he had a dong train over the weekend. He was one of the Carlos Santana pickers. And today he tried to start the hashtag Help Heath Dong. So,
yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see if Heath can dong.
Yeah, I'm going for it.
It's been a while.
Prince Fielder.
You guys got lineups?
Yeah, I've got FanDuel and DraftKings.
You're right.
I'll go FanDuel first.
Okay.
I'm going Arrieta.
Okay.
Kurt Casale.
Okay.
Prince Fielder.
All right.
Logan Forsyth. Mikel Franco. Troy Tulowitzki. Nomar Mazara. Jacoby Ellsbury. And Alex Gordon.
Okay.
All three of the Dong Chasers picks in there.
Yes, and this was created before Dong Chasers.
That's good.
If Mitch Moreland is in the lineup tonight, then I would play him over Gordon.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
Mike, what pitcher do you have?
All right, more of a tournament lineup probably, but it's Danny Duffy.
Nice.
Salvador Perez. Eric Hosmer. Logan Forsyth. Josh Donaldson. Taylor Motter. Michael Saunders, Nomar Mazara, and Mr. Chu for the Rangers.
Okay. I've got a Trevor Bauer lineup. So
Chalk Eater.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry.
This is the guy who plays Arrieta.
Arrieta's going to be contrarian tonight.
Trevor Bauer, Wilson Contreras, Tommy Joseph, Logan Forsyth, Evan Longoria, Troy Tulowitzki, Carlos Beltran, Nomar Mazara, and Jason Hayward.
I like the fact that you have two catchers that don't play catcher in your lineup.
Hey, man.
That is awesome.
Anytime I can do it.
So wait, you had Tommy Joseph and Wilson Contreras.
Yes.
So Joseph's now a first baseman.
Joseph is a first baseman. He's a $3,000 first baseman.
I like that a lot.
He mashes lefties.
Oh, yes, he does.
Robbie Ray's up.
That's a very good pick.
I think it's a good pick.
On DraftKings, I had Tommy Joseph in my first iteration.
Okay.
But I had to make some changes. So Jake Arrieta and Danny Duffy are my pitchers. You're not playing Trevor Bauer on DraftKings tonight. So he's $12,800.
That's way too much.
Danny Duffy's only $6,800.
Yeah, I would rather not spend the $6,000 there.
Nick Hundley, hope he's in the lineup. Prince Fielder, Logan Forsyth, Mikel Franco, Troy Tulowitzki, Nomar Mazara, Ryan Rayburn, and Shin-Soo Chu.
Sounds good.
Yes.
Let's go win that single entry tournament.
Okay.
Let's go win all the tournaments.
Let's bring home all the money. All of it.
Let's make Heath Dong again.
And we will have, by the end of the week, a Make Heath Dunk Again update.
Oh, okay, good.
Ooh, yes.
Yes. We're approaching week 5.
Yeah.
The end of week 5.
You got 5 months.
Yeah.
I think it's 5 months from like 4 days ago.
So 5 months from Thursday, yes.
You got fewer than 5 months, Heath. You need to...
We're going to have an update.
Get on it.
We'll have an update.
Okay. I need you to be dunking a tennis ball by this point next month.
Okay.
We'll see you tomorrow.